Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, not a whole lot has been happening in the world of the Buffalo Sabres aside from some solid performances from Rasmus Dahlin and Rasmus Asplund at the World Championships this week. But what has been going on is the conclusion of the first round of the playoffs and the start of the second round. Our second round matchups are already set. It has already gotten underway with Tampa and Colorado taking 1-0 leads in their respective series. Tonight, ahead of us recording this, the other two games will be getting underway between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers, as well as Edmonton and Calgary for the Battle of Alberta. So, Taylor, what are your thoughts as we are now into the second round of the playoffs?
So, I guess partially is because that first round series were so close, and I believe all but one of them came down to the sixth or seventh game, that I didn't really think too much about like what the next round would look like. Like, I knew it was because Colorado's been forever basically has clinched the second round spot, but like I knew they'd have to play the winner of St. Louis and Minnesota. But besides that, I didn't really think about it. So I didn't really think about like a nasty Rangers Hurricane series that I don't want to deal with. Because on one hand, it's like, ugh, do I really want the Rangers getting to the Stanley Cup or getting to the conference finals even?
Hell no.
No. But do I want the Hurricanes?
Double hell no.
Yeah. Because here's the thing that I'm pretty confident if the Rangers go to the conference finals, they're going to get squashed by someone. I'm really not confident about the Hurricanes. The thing is, though, like the Rangers got squashed in the first round. It didn't really matter. I didn't really understand, I guess, what happened in the first round, considering they got crushed in expected goals and their goaltending wasn't like Shesterkin had a couple games. Like the Penguins are obviously the better team, but it wasn't like, wow, Shesterkin was dominant that whole series. He really wasn't. They outlasted the Penguins and they did a good job hurting them. So congrats to them for that. But yeah, so looking at the other one. So I watched the games last night, or at least I watched part of Avs Blues. The Lightning, started to occur to me during that game that like the Lightning could just go to a third straight cup. And it started to dawn on me like that they might be, this run might be the best run since, well, easily since post-lockout. In the salary cap era, it's getting pretty close to being the best run. The competition would be obvious. It'd be the Penguins have a billion playoff appearances in a row, I think. God, I think the number is like 16 now. And they have 3 cup wins, 4 cup appearances. But here's the thing, only 5 total conference final appearances. And they've made the playoffs every year since Crosby's second year. And would like to note that in 07, 2011, 2012, 2015, 2019, 2021, and 22, they lost in the first round. All those times. Yes. It's really interesting because it's like, you can't, I don't know if there was a time at one point where it felt like they were kind of wasting the Crosby Malkin era, but like, that was obviously short-lived, and it wasn't right away, and it wasn't too much of a pressure because it was like, okay, it was like, year one of Crosby missed the playoffs, year two, he wins the MVP, and they get to the second round, or sorry, they lose in the first round, but they get to the playoffs. Year three, they make the cup. Year four, they win the cup. And then it wasn't until like 2015 where it was like, they really haven't done anything for a few years in the playoffs, despite being good. So that's kind of a weird thing. But like, yeah, so getting back to the Lightning, the way they, I know it was heavily power play driven, but they're pretty deadly on the power play, and they didn't even have Braden Point in that game. They now, depending if you want to count 2011 or not, you count 2011 as part of this run. They had Stamkos and Hedman, but no one else.
I mean, not necessarily. I think that they've really taken it to a new level because they were kind of in that, like, I mean, would you consider Washington's build up to them winning the cup a part of their run where they had all those ups and downs?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess in theory you probably could then. But I don't know. I think of it more as like, even though you have the two mainstays in Hedman and Stamkos, the rest of the roster is drastically different.
Yeah, here's the difference, I think, between Washington and Pittsburgh and all those. Washington was basically, at least theoretically, a cup contender from like 09 through, I don't know, they fell off some point in the last few years from being a real cup contender, maybe just this year or last year. They've also lost in the first round 4 years in a row. But like somewhere in there, but they changed a lot over those times, like 09, 10, 11, 12, that whole range, they're pretty much cup contenders. 2012, they're a little off. And there's 1 year where they missed the playoffs, which I think is 2013, 14. There's not that big of a change in the middle though. Like the changes are the kind of changes you just see in the long term. Same with Pittsburgh. Like you just, if you're good that long, even if you have Ovechkin and Backstrom, and guys like that are around for a while, there will be a bunch of changes around them. The difference is, and I think this might be what you're getting at, when the Lightning were good in 2011 and made the conference final, that's very different than the Lightning team that got good again.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah, so there's a break. Yeah, it is interesting. So anyway, just real quick, also, the other teams you got to mention, Chicago, that was just basically, what, 09 to 2017 that they were contenders. Right. And they have the obvious, they have three cups. So that's the trump card. And then Boston's around just for a really long time. Only won one cup. So that I'm not going to count them. And the Kings, very short time, but they won two cups. So I think looking at Tampa now, though, it's like, okay, they really start being, they seem pretty good in 13-14, but they got swept in the first round. 2014-15, it's like, this has been a really wild run since starting now. And I think, or from then till now. And I think there's been a couple weird years in there. 2017 and 19 are the two ones to point out. But just from then, it's 2014-15. They're awesome, and they make the cup. They are tied 2-2 in the cup, two bad games, and lose. 2016, they make the conference final, and I believe they were up 3-2, if I'm not mistaken. Two bad games and lose. 2017, they have a ton of injuries. And they missed the playoffs. Strange year. 2017 all the way around. Not a good season for the NHL, 2016-17. The next year, they come back. They make the conference final, and they're up 3-2 on Washington. Two bad games, lose the conference final. And that's kind of the, Tampa, what are you doing? And then 2019, they break the wins record. Or they tie the wins record, 62. Nikita Kucherov, unbelievable. It's for whatever it's worth. It's a salary cap era wins record. He wins the MVP. And then they lose to Columbus, getting swept in the first round. Columbus's first playoff series win. For the record, they only have two because they only have that and the time to beat Toronto. So they only win very funny series in Columbus. And then the last 2 years, they've just steamrolled the cups. And they could do that again. So if you don't want to count 2011 as part of this, they still already have three Stanley Cup appearances and five conference finals appearances. If they win, this will be six conference finals appearances in 8 years. Right? They only didn't make it in 17 and 19. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking of that series. On the other hand, Florida, just don't take a bunch of penalties the next game. And I think it'll be fine on Thursday.
I mean, it feels like inevitable that that's going to be, if there's any series that's going to go to seven games, it's almost inevitable that it's going to be that one, right?
I would think so. And then my other thought on the night game from Tuesday, Colorado and St. Louis looked more closely matched than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
So that bodes well for St. Louis because Colorado is not impervious to losing in the second round. It's, in fact, it might be their favorite hobby of late. So we'll see.
I think this is the year they get it done.
I think so too, but
by get it done, I'll say at least get to the cup. I mean, it depends on who they're up against, but I still feel like regardless of who comes out of the East, that Colorado's the team to beat, and that's Florida included with that. It's their time. This is really just the start for Florida, I think. You know, both teams are set up well for the future, don't get me wrong, but Colorado's been dancing around this for the past few years. They're overwhelmingly talented. They are deep. They're getting goaltending help now. Like, their defense is insanely deep, and it just feels like, I mean, they're going to be a matchup nightmare for whoever they play. I really would love to, even though obviously, as we've been saying, you know, from the Sabres draft position standpoint, it wouldn't be ideal to have Florida get there, but like, if you want to go for all, like 100% all-time entertainment value, that is the matchup that I'd really like to see. And I even still think, though, as good as Florida is, and even Tampa for that matter too, I just think this is going to be Colorado's year. So I'm looking forward to being proved wrong in the next like week and a half or so when St. Louis somehow pulls off a miraculous comeback win and wins in seven games or something like that.
Yeah. Well, the other series now, the Battle of Alberta. This is interesting, Brendan, because I don't think there's been a Battle of Alberta since the 80s.
Correct. Yeah.
Would that have been 89, I guess, when Calgary won?
Yeah, the cup? I read that earlier. I think it was right around there. I don't know that for sure, though, so don't quote me on that. But I was literally earlier today was reading about that.
Well, that's wild that hasn't happened. But I guess it does make sense because, as we mentioned earlier, Calgary has not had much playoff success. They made the cup in 04, which was kind of a surprise. But like, basically, after they won the cup in 89, their 90s were pretty pedestrian. And Edmonton stopped being good in like 92. They have a weird thing post Gretzky. I don't know if people are aware of this. They stopped being like a great team when they traded Gretzky. They'd already traded Paul Coffey. They're pretty good the next year in 89. But obviously that I think might be the last Battle of Alberta. Calgary wins the cup. And then in 90, they're like, they're not that good of a team. Look at their regular season point totals. Not all that great. They get hot and win the cup. And then they keep trading guys away because Peter Pocklington is, he's down bad, you would say.
Can we also just acknowledge that he might have like the fakest sounding name in all of sports? Like that is the stuff of fictional characters.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's weird though because it sounds like it doesn't sound like what's my name? Peter Pocklington. You wouldn't do it that way. It sounds like a name from like a story.
That's what I mean. Story. It sounds like a fictional name, like that I would read in like a comic book or something.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Yeah, so he.
Anyways.
So yeah, so they like then they trade Messier, they trade Curry, they trade everyone, and I don't know if who is still there in '92, like Esa Tikkanen, but I think they made the conference final in '92. So I think after Gretzky, they had this weird like, you know, bounce of being like pretty good, but then they were like kind of bad, not kind of, they were extremely bad for a little while. And then they have like the, you know, the early 2000s period where they seem to lose in the first round every year.
Ryan Smith, right?
The Smith era, the Horkoff era.
God. Hemsky.
Doug Waite.
Doug Waite was there. Yeah. Yep. Who was in goal for them? Tommy Salo, right?
Yeah. And then And then they had the obvious 06 run to the cup, but they didn't make the playoffs again until 2017.
When did they end up trading for Pronger, by the way? When did that happen?
So they had Pronger. Now, this is interesting. They had Pronger in 05, 06. Did they only have him for that 1 year?
Let's look and see. Because now
they definitely didn't have him the next year. After they made the cup, there's that whole story that Pronger's wife was like, I hate Edmonton. Can we go to California?
It was literally only 05, 06.
Pronger, it's so funny because, well, you're looking at his hockey reference. I'm sure you can confirm this. He's on the Blues for a while. Great. Wins MVP. 05, 06, trade to Edmonton. They go to the cup. Traded to Anaheim in 06, 07. They win the cup. Traded to Philadelphia in 2009-10. They go to the cup.
Hold on here. Okay, so no, actually, wow, this is really interesting. I didn't realize this. Pronger signed with the Oilers a 5-year, $31.25 million contract. So
I was right about the cups part or no?
Yes. Yeah. So then he requests a trade in June. So they end up losing the cup like what, a week before? And then a week after they end up losing in the cup final, he requests a trade and ends up going to Anaheim. Wow. And you're right, it was his wife. Yeah.
And then so it was 09 offseason that he was traded to Philadelphia.
Yeah, going into the 2009-2010 season.
Now, that's something, right? Three times he goes to a new team and they go to the cup the first year every time.
Crazy.
Incredible stuff. But yeah, so like Edmonton.
Damn, he put up 55 points in that season too with them.
And he was not a young man by that point.
He was really not, no.
So I guess it's weird to me, yes, that two teams that have mostly played in the same division haven't played in the playoffs for more than 30 years. But I guess it makes sense when the teams either don't make the playoffs or lose in the first round all the time. I don't know how many combined conference finals they have since 1992. My guess is it's like their two cup runs in 04 and 06, which technically that's back-to-back cup runs because there's no 05 cup. Well, good for you, Alberta. You had a nice little run there in the mid-aughts. Yeah, and then the other series, the less said, the better. I think the Hurricanes are probably going to roll. And yeah. Sorry. RIP to the Rangers. But I don't know. They still do have, who knows? Shesterkin could really bounce back strong. Man, I guess I should say what I think of the Battle of Alberta series. I think it's super interesting because, like we mentioned before around here about Calgary, they might play Daryl Sutter hockey, but they have a lot of interesting talent with
Fitzgerald
and Tkachuk and Mangiapane. And then who knows?
Lindholm. One of these years.
Yeah, Lindholm. Maybe someday Sean Monahan will become a real boy again.
Oh, so did you see the video of him and Johnny Gaudreau hugging each other after Gaudreau was named the first star when they ended up clinching the series?
Yeah, that was nice.
That's nice. I always enjoy when guys are like real type bros, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When dudes rock, it rocks.
For sure. Also, so we mentioned this too, I guess. In terms of these two, they were really bad at the beginning of this past decade, the beginning of the 2010s. But Edmonton seemed to get all that energy. Like Edmonton gets the Calgary goes to the cup in 04. They don't do anything. I mean, they have a couple playoff losses in the Kiprusoff Ginla era, but they waste that. And it feels like they get no attention for it. Meanwhile, Edmonton, they end up getting rid of everyone. They're terrible. They get the first overall pick 4 out of 6 years. And they get also, in addition to that, they get Drysdale and Nurse. And all the attention's on them, the fact that they couldn't win a playoff series. They win one in 2017 and then miss in 18 and 19 and then losing the play-in in 2020 and then get spanked by Winnipeg last year. And there's always just all this negative attention at Edmonton that people don't even realize. Calgary, after having like a real surprising year in 2015, gets super lucky they get to play Vancouver in a classic Pacific Division 2-3 series, the two worst teams in the playoffs, and they win, but then they get spanked in the second round, and then they follow up by missing the playoffs, and then they get swept in the first round in 2017, and then they miss the playoffs in 2018 with Gaudreau and while Monahan's still playing well, and then 2019, they are the one seed in the West, and they lose in 5 in the first round, and no one pays attention to it because, as I just mentioned, Tampa Bay got swept in the first round as the President's Trophy winner. So Calgary has really avoided negative talk of all kind, partially because they usually aren't the worst team in the league, like the Sabres, and they're not even the most embarrassing or disappointing team in their own province. So these guys both get their chance to shine, and I'm proud of the fellas. But
oh yeah,
and I'm excited for the series.
I think so, Edmonton is just a nail Yakupov away from being able to put this thing home, though. You know,
yeah, yeah. And like I said, like Calgary, they have all that star power. Edmonton, I don't even need to mention it, but they got something in the first round that they never get, which is secondary scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So that they need that, their goaltending to not be terrible. And
that's what I was going to say. I think in that series specifically, goaltending is really going to be the difference maker, because the drop off from Jacob Markstrom to Mike Smith is significant, to say the least. And I just think, you know, while Edmonton did get that secondary scoring in the first round, we'll see if it ends up holding true in the second round, because even still, I just really like Calgary's lineup, like top to bottom. I think that, you know, while they definitely have their some deficiencies on the back end of their blue line, their secondary scoring I like a lot. I mean, their star power is really solid. Obviously, the high isn't, you know, to the extent of having McDavid and Dreisaitl, but, you know, there's like five or six guys in that forward corps that can just go off any night for you, on top of the fact that, you know, of all of them being solid, I mean, Johnny Gaudreau is having the year of his life this year, and it's going to, you know what I mean? So, like,
yeah,
I think that Calgary is going to take this in six games. I'm going to say, I think just like the hype of it all, Edmonton is going to be in it, but I just think Calgary is going to overpower them, and we will ultimately end up getting to see the conference final in the West that we deserve and have deserved, which is Calgary and Colorado.
All right. So before we move on to the next topic, let's hear from our sponsors at DraftKings. Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Creating your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's promo code THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See our show notes for details and responsible gambling resources.
And we're back.
We're back.
We are so very back. Well, I wanted to bring this up, if we're good with the playoff talk, that our pals over at Expected Buffalo, specifically Chad, released his first mock offseason for the Sabres. And Taylor, do you know what the marquee move that Chad has the Sabres making? And this, of course, isn't based on any intel he's getting, but just his prediction.
What's that?
That it's about to get a whole lot Frencher up in here in Buffalo next year. Sabres making a move for Pierre-Luc Dubois. He had them moving, I believe it was the 9th overall pick, Casey Mittelstadt and Ryan Johnson, for PLD. Your thoughts?
Well, here's two big factors here. Where do Ryan Johnson and PLD want to play hockey? That's what's that?
Oh,
well, I mean, that's my big question here. But so you talk about PLD though, or talk about how you feel about this, because I don't, I guess you have more feelings on it than I do at the moment.
I do. Yeah. I mean, my thought on it, and this is really what it remains, is that while you have the ability to get a really good player at 9, I know on our last episode, whether it was last episode or a couple episodes ago, whenever it was, you know, we're talking about names like Joaquin Kemmel, if he were to fall, which is not likely. Same goes for Matthew Savoy, which he's maybe a little bit more likely. But with that being said, though, I would just say that whether it's one of those guys in the best case scenario, or whether it's one of those other options, whether it's somebody like Frank Nizar or Connor Geeky or Marco Casper or Jonathan Lekkermäki, any of these guys, all really, really solid prospects. I would rather bank on the Sabres having a surefire top end, top six center in PLD rather than trying to risk it. I mean, and risk it's probably a bad way of putting it. It really just comes back to, do you want a surefire thing where you know exactly what you're getting, or do you want to take the chance on going after a guy who, by and large, their best case outlook is that they turn into this guy, which isn't a guarantee. So for me, it may seem like it's a big cost, you know, when we're talking about nine and then Mittelstadt, because you don't know what's going on there. But, and then also too with Johnson, I mean, Johnson seems like he's just about 1 foot out the door at this point and they have to move him. Like, there's no getting around that. But as I had said, though, when it comes to whoever you can get at nine and with Mittelstadt combined, I do not personally think that it would be worth it to hang on to that. If you were to know that you were going to be able to trade for PLD and have him sign a long-term deal here, I think it just, it makes too much sense. It doesn't mess with any timelines or anything like that. I think it's, and Chad pointed this out, as we had pointed out when we had our initial episode on PLD, that it doesn't necessarily, you know, there's no mirroring with the ROR trade or anything like that. It doesn't have to be reflective of that. It doesn't have to mess with any timelines or anything like that. It's just, you're going out and getting a really solid young player who can be a foundational piece of the puzzle for you moving forward now and well into the future. And if you're not ready to be a playoff team quite yet, that's okay, because you're getting a guy who's going to be 24 years old in June. So, you know, you're not going after some seasoned veteran who's trying to go to somewhere where they can win a cup right off the bat. You know, with that being said, though, again, I mean, you get Pierre-Luc Dubois in the room and that moves you, I would say, pretty substantially closer to being a playoff team or being where you want to be, or at least we'll just say being in the ballpark of how we've been describing where we think they'll be in the 2023-24 season. So, of course, coupling with that, you have to go out and have and get a goaltender as well as a right-handed defenseman. In Chad's preview, he ended up getting Jack Campbell and PK Subban. And again, like, you make that move, you bring in those three guys, I think that puts them right on the doorstep of a playoff spot, in my opinion, with the following year far and away, like, them being a legitimate contender. What do you think?
The same thing I said before. Does he actually want to play here? Because I don't think so.
Obviously, this is all predicated on him wanting to come here and him agreeing to signing a long-term deal. Yes, I think Chad had him marked in for like a six-year, $7 million a year deal.
All right, here's another example that I would say. So Panarin, I don't think is too far away from free agency. Am I wrong on thinking that?
Panarin?
Or I could be mistaken.
I think you are, yeah. Let me see. I think he has like four more years though. Like he's got a bit still. Let's see. What does Cap Friendly have to say about this? Yeah, he signed a 7-year deal with them. So he is under contract until 2025, 2026. Or through 2025, 2026.
Okay. Yeah, never mind. I thought he had 2 years left for some reason. But anyway, I was gonna ask if you would trade for Panarin. And here's a fun thing. My answer was gonna be no. Also, you can't. You can't trade for Panarin because he's no move clause.
Why him, out of curiosity?
Because it was another example I was thinking of where Panarin went to – he signed with Chicago. I believe he was undrafted, and that's why he came over so late. And he was awesome in the KHL. So the Blackhawks signed him, and he was immediately like one of the best players in the league. And then they had that weird, stupid trade to make Toews happy and get Brandon Saad back.
So dumb.
Tough. And so – Saad basically is not nearly as good. So Panarin had no choice. He had, you know, he wasn't a UFA yet. He like didn't have the ability to even do a new move or whatever. But anyway, he had to go to Columbus and play there. But the first chance he got to get out of Columbus, where'd he go?
Well, he went to New York.
Yeah. And all the indications were like, there's not a shot in hell he ever would have signed to Columbus, even if they were good. Mm-hmm. So like there are guys that, and it's not, it's way more rare in hockey than it is in other sports, I think. Well, I mean, the NBA has destinations for a reason, but who knows? Maybe Giannis will make Milwaukee a destination. But based on what Dubois has wanted out of so far, maybe he just wanted out of two crap organizations and he wants in on a good vibes organization like the Sabres.
Well, but I mean, that's the whole thing.
It's a small market that's cold. It's the same thing as the other two places he's been.
Yeah, like, that's fair. And I'm not going to try. But also, let's keep in mind, one, with Columbus, he was dealing with Tortorella and they reportedly did not like each other.
That's a privilege. Wait, what? You didn't like him?
I know. Crazy, right?
Oh, man.
Secondly, Winnipeg, I'm not going to claim that I know the ins and outs of the internal chemistry within the organization, but as we had talked about when we did our PLD episode a couple weeks back, what you're building right now in the room, you know, the camaraderie between the players, you know, between the players themselves and then the players in Granato, and what, you know, when we're talking about all of this stuff with the good vibes, is that not exactly the kind of situation, though, that a guy like this would make sense to go after? Where, I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, you know, you want to get a really good vibes guy, too, like how people have brought up with, like, Subban, for example, with bringing him in, because he seems to be, like, that kind of a guy. But isn't this why you're also, like, setting that up so that you can go out and make a move for a guy that maybe has just been looking for that right fit? And you bring him in, you get him a part of this, a part of the good vibes, the camaraderie, the chemistry that's growing here, and help him find his long-term home. I mean, to me, that, like, that's how I feel about the Bills right now. Like, obviously the Bills and the Sabres are in two completely different places, but the whole purpose of what, like, McDermott and Bean were trying to build with all of, like, the culture stuff, it's so that you can go out and get any kind of guy. And you bring them into the room and it's not going to take away from what's been building there. And it's going to help them then want to become a part of that. I mean, Diggs wanted out of Minnesota and he was thought to be, you know, like a problem kind of child or whatever. He comes here and how seamlessly and how perfectly does he fit in with what they built here?
Yeah, but I think you also need kind of proof of concept for that to work too.
You do, but this, I mean, it's the beginning of it. But again, though, like I'm willing to take the swing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they'll know if he wants to sign here when they make the deal. And if he wants to sign here for a reasonable deal, then I think it's not out of the question at all. First of all, I mean, Ryan Johnson in a trade is a piece of so weird because it's like he could be completely valueless. We'll see. I have no idea. Like if he's not willing to sign, if he really wants to go play his senior year. And then looking at Middlestat and the nine is kind of like, it's not that far away from just trading the nine. And would you take Pierre-Luc Dubois with the ninth overall pick? Probably.
I'd take it and run.
He went third in 2016 and he'd be ninth or lower if they did that again. Ninth or high. Well, I don't know how you put that. Ninth or higher, ninth or lower, higher. He'd be under nine. He'd go somewhere between, I don't know, five and nine. If you did a 2016 redraft, so.
I would say, well, let's take a look here. I mean, who automatically moves up? Matthew Tkachuk probably ends up going second.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take PLD over Line A?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you take him over Clayton Keller?
That's a thinker. I don't know.
I think I would. What about Sergachev?
Another thinker.
Maybe honestly. Not McAvoy. I would say probably. Not
McAvoy is ahead of him.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
Slot McAvoy at three. Chekrin?
No, I take him over Chekrin for sure.
You would take PLD over Chekrin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Our sweet boy Tage. I would.
Let's take Tage over PLD. PLD's never scored 37 goals in a season.
That's okay. DeBrincat.
That, God, I don't know.
All right. Well, I mean, you're right. The point still stands that he'd probably be in like the 5 to 8 range.
Yeah. Anyway.
But again, we're talking about guys who are some of the premier players in the league. Like, you know, yeah. I have no problem being like, oh man, Matthew Tkachuk and Charlie McAvoy, I would take over PLD. It's like, oh yeah, only two of the best players at their respective positions in the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, hey, he's a great player. So that's why the ninth should definitely be in play for someone like him.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Taylor. Well, I know we have to wrap up here. We are going to allow you to finish listening to Kendrick's new album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, ahead of our episode on Monday that's going to be coming out. And we will do a more detailed review of it from both of our thoughts on this, with Kendrick being both of one of our favorite artists.
Sounds good.
Excellent. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, make sure you're checking out both of the presenters of this podcast on their respective websites, whatever social media platforms you're active on, and whatever streaming platforms you're using to currently listen to this podcast, to check out all the other great shows that both of the presenters are putting out. On top of that, follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Straight Up Sabres, and also make sure you're following or subscribe to us on whatever streaming platform you're currently listening to listen to this episode. And last but not least, DraftKings, make sure you're using that promo code THPN at checkout to take advantage of great deals. As I had said before, we'll be back with a brand new episode on Monday. But everybody, in the meantime, have a great weekend. This has been Straight Up Sabres.